Let's kneel for prayer, okay? Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day. We thank you that we can worship you, that we have roofs over our heads. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, that we have food to eat, that we have beds to sleep in, we have people to worship with. We're so grateful that we're not yet tested alone as the days can come. We ask that you be with us this Sabbath day and that your Holy Spirit teach us. Thank you for the words that you give us. They strengthen us and tell us what's going to happen and what to expect. We ask for mercies and blessings upon our enemies, our friends, our extended family who are not with us today, and upon our neighbors. We pray that you'll continue to work in all of our lives. May your will be done life by life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, last week we left off. We in Desire of Ages. We're going to begin chapter 51 on page 463 in Desire of Ages. And you'll notice as it says at the bottom of the page, this chapter is based on John chapter 8. Verses 12 through 59 and chapter 9. So let's turn to our Bibles first and read John chapter 8 beginning in verse 12 to the end and then John chapter 9. We read John chapter 8 verses 12 through 59 and John chapter 9 today as preparation for going into our chapter 51 in Desire of Ages on page 463. So again, beginning in verse 12, that Jesus is having a confrontation with the Pharisees. And it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Light is to Christianity as darkness is to heathenism. So what Christ was telling these heathen Laodicean Pharisees here, that if they followed him, they wouldn't be walking in heathen Laodiceanism. They wouldn't be walking in darkness. Their religion of darkness would be heathen Laodiceanism. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, "Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true." Jesus answered and said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law, that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. There's another characteristic of the Pharisees. They claim to be the greatest religionists in the world. Whether they be heathen Laodicean Pharisees in Sabbath polluting with idolatry, or heathen Babylonian Pharisees in Sunday keeping with idolatry, they both claim to be superior in religion to everyone around them, and that is their attitude. They claim to be the true church on the face of the earth. And yet God tells us here, Christ himself tells us that the Pharisees neither know him nor his Father. Both heathen Laodicean Pharisees and heathen Babylonian Pharisees are exactly alike in the fact that they are in heathenism or idolatry or they attempt to represent something of heaven by the art of man. That's the way Satan's religion is composed. Heathenism, idolatry, one and the same thing. Verse 20, it says, no, verse 19 again, then said they unto him, where is thy father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour has not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I spake to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Oftentimes you'll hold forth the truth to the Pharisees today, and they will directly or indirectly say that the truth is not true. And finally, through 30 years of working with them, I can say that this record is true, because they'll come back to you at other times, and although you say the simplest thing to them, like to make an image of God dishonors him, 4 Bible Commentary 1145, which is like a commentary on Exodus 20 verse 4, thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness. And the subject of the first 4 commandments is man's duty to God. So it's obviously talking about not making a graven image, a statue, or likeness, a picture of God. That's what it's talking about. To make an image of God dishonors him. It's simple sentence, a simple declarative sentence from the testimony of Jesus. 4 Bible Commentary 1145, column 1, paragraph 7. And yet I've heard pastors who promote heathen Laodicean Phariseeism and are such Pharisees themselves simply say, I don't understand, when you say to them, to make an image of God dishonors him. That's exactly what verse 27 here of John chapter 8 is telling us about them. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. They do not understand the words of Christ, especially as those words contradict their heathen delusions. Continuing on in verse 28, it says, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shalt ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus, to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Here we have a direct definition of Christ's disciples that spans throughout the centuries. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." Here again we see a testimony of Jesus describing the character, particularly here, of heathen Laodicean Pharisees. Christ's word has no place in them. And of course, this is talking about impenitent, openly sinning, and or openly heathen Laodicean Pharisees. God's word has no place in them. They do not take God at his word, in other words. And for the Christian, that's quite a daunting thing then, to try to present ideas, life-changing ways of living, to people who profess to be the greatest religionists in the world, and yet the Word of God produces no positive response in them. Jesus understood that. Why is he telling us that here? Because he wants us to know that we be not discouraged when we're working with heathen Laodicean Pharisees. And according to Signs of the Times, May 27th, 1903. Heathen Laodicean Pharisees are the most guilty and deserving of the most punishment than any other class of people on the face of the earth because of the principle of God's justice. The guilt of the sinner is proportionate to the knowledge given him, but not used or used in a wrong way. Therefore, the Laodiceans, having more knowledge given them, the Bible and the writings of Ellen White, are more guilty sinners, and their punishment will be greater than Babylonians who have been given responsibility for the Bible, but not responsibility for the heaven-sent writings of Ellen White. We're told in Great Controversy, page 558, paragraph 2, that the heathen or spiritualists, in other words, same thing, keep God's justice out of sight. One of the ways they do that is to try to tell you that Laodiceans are better than Babylonians, when in reality, spiritually speaking, they're both lost unless they're converted. But spiritually speaking, Laodiceans are worse than Babylonians. And the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of today are far more guilty and will receive greater punishment according to the principle of God's justice, as I've just read to you from Signs of the Times, May 27, 1903. God's principle of justice is based upon knowledge that they were given from heaven, knowledge that mankind has been given from heaven. And Laodiceans have been given greater knowledge than Babylonians. That's why Laodiceans can never become Babylonians. They can do all the sins that the Babylonians are doing. They can go into Sunday keeping even.
and they will still be Laodiceans. When they go to the judgment of God, they will be judged as Laodiceans, because they can never divorce themselves from the responsibility of the knowledge that was given them, a greater knowledge than was given to Babylonians. Continuing on in John chapter 8, let's begin again in verse 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. And of course, this is talking about the counterfeit father, God, with a small g, of heathenism, the god of this world, Satan. That is the father, the spiritual father, of heathen Laodicean Pharisees historically. Verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Notice, they do not even know who their spiritual father is. They are in such delusion, they don't know who they serve. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. No wonder today when the Christian Adventists repeat the truth to heathen Laodiceans, they experience the same type of murderous attitude from the majority of heathen Laodicean Pharisees. In the hatred that emanates from them by look, by their eyes, by look, by a glance of their head, a wave of their hand, or from their mouth, they are doing what their predecessors have always done. They have sought to kill or hate, and hatred is a form of murder in some degree. They have sought to kill whoever tells them the truth. That's exactly what they did to Jesus, Christian Seventh-day Adventist brothers and sisters, historically. What do you think the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of our day, what do you think these heathen Laodiceans will do to you, Christian Seventh-day Adventist, if you tell them the truth? The vast majority of them, and that means a great mass, the majority, will seek to kill you in one way or another. And if you want to know the definition of murder and how it's viewed by heaven, you can read of it yourself in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 308, in paragraphs 5 and 6. Hatred, in any degree, is a form of murder. To wish our brother or sister harm is a form of murder. And that's exactly what heathen Laodicean Pharisees do when the Christian Seventh-day Adventist, or anyone else, simply tells them the truth, because the truth stands against Satan's and their religion of heathenism. And that's something that Abraham did not do. He did not emanate hate when he was told the truth. He did not seek to kill when he was told the truth. In verse 41, we continue on, and it says, Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. In other words, here Jesus was telling them that they were children of lies and that their father was the devil. They were the offspring of lies. In verse 45, and it says, "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me." Notice here's another characteristic of heathen Laodicean Pharisees. They dishonor God. That's what they do by spiritual nature. In the Word of God, then, if we read something that says that this dishonors God, that's exactly what they will do. For example, 4 Bible Commentary 1145. To make an image of God dishonors him. What do heathen Laodicean Pharisees do historically, even of our day then? Why, they make images of God. And if you show them from God's word, the truth, that they shouldn't be doing this, what do they say in one way or another? They say that it's not true. And when you tell them the truth, how do they react? They act with a murderous attitude toward you. You can see it in their eyes and in their face, and it is evidenced by their behavior. And it's simply because you told them the truth that speaks against their religion of heathenism. And their religion of heathenism calls forth from its membership that they must dishonor God. Spiritually speaking, then, even in our day, that's God's word regarding honor and dishonor. The Christian Seventh-day Adventist will honor God, and they will observe God's word and pay heed to those things that honor and dishonor him. The heathen Laodicean, by nature, by spiritual nature, dishonors God. They historically have done that. And Jesus believes, obviously, that it is so important for his people to understand this that it's recorded in Scripture. So elsewhere in God's Word, where he describes things that dishonor him, we should know that heathen Laodiceans will do those very things that dishonor him. In verse 50, then, it says, "And I seek not mine own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Of course, here Jesus is talking genetically, not spiritually, that their father was Abraham, but spiritually speaking, their father was the devil. Genetically speaking, paternally speaking, their father was Abraham. Verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Here we see a supernatural heavenly miracle. They were going to stone Jesus, and yet Jesus was able to walk through the midst of them and pass right by them. And yet they intended to stone him, but they could not. Now let's read chapter 9. It says there in verse 1, And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Notice here you see Christ's work cut out for him. His disciples were still laboring under the false and heathen education that they received of spiritual things from the heathen Laodicean Pharisaical rabbis or leaders, doctors of theology of their day. The disciples were still slaves to false teachings, in other words, to heathen teachings. We see it in verse 2, And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They said unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind, and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that hath received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Notice here we see the great power that God wants us to understand. He wants Christian Seventh-day Adventists and those who live in the hope of being judged by God to be Christian Seventh-day Adventists, and certainly all Christians, to understand the nature of heathen Laodicean Pharisees. He wants them to understand the power that they hold over people in their church to keep people in darkness when the light is right before them. And what is that power? They fear to be put out of the church. That is the power that heathen Laodicean Pharisees have historically held over those that are enslaved to them. Because people don't understand what the church is. According to Acts of the Apostles, page 11 in paragraph 3, the church is faithful souls. And of course, that would be the wheat. Faithful souls, the wheat. And who's the judge then of the church? Who decides who the church is? Why, God alone. Brothers and sisters, on this earth, as soon as you see man standing up and claiming to be the church, you should know that that is not the church. If they do not have the humility of honoring God by attributing the fact that the judgment of God will determine his church, individual by individual, and they hold forth self-inflated ideas and self-exaltation, and they claim to be of superior goodness up to the point of saying that they are the church, you should know that that's not the case. The church is faithful souls. It's the wheat, in other words, and God is the judge of that. Upward Look, page 315, paragraph 5, tells us that the church is people. It's the people who love God and keep his commandments. Certainly, then, Christian Seventh-day Adventists have nothing to fear when it comes to the historical slave bracelets of fear that heathen Laodicean Pharisees operate with to keep their membership under control. Their membership is kept under control simply because they have great fear of being put out of the church. They continue to walk in darkness when light is right before them because they fear being put out of the church. They don't understand what the church is. They don't understand that God alone, no man or woman, no body of men or women, can decide on this earth who the church is, no more than any man or woman or body of men or women who can decide who the wheat are. A decision as to the makeup of God's church is reserved for the judgment of God alone. So here we see, if we dig a little deeper and think about it, that heathen Laodicean Pharisees, because they think that they are the church historically, reveal the fact that they are gods with a small g unto themselves and those who they control by fear of being put out of their self-inflated religion and church. Christian Seventh-day Adventists have nothing to fear from heathen Laodicean Pharisees. Heathen Laodicean Pharisees cannot put Christian Seventh-day Adventists out of the true church. The true church is faithful souls, Acts of the Apostles, page 11, paragraph 3. It's the people who love God and keep His commandments. Upward Look, page 315, paragraph 5. And yet we see the blind man's parents afraid to acknowledge the healer, Christ, the healer of their son. And they simply want their own son to answer for himself. They're willing to set as slaves in the heathen church of the Laodiceans and sacrifice their son to their own fear. Let him testify of Jesus, in other words, and he can be put out of the church. I cannot understand why Christian Seventh-day Adventists want to belong to the society or the religion of self-inflated, non-caring, and non-loving heathen Laodiceans. In reality, they do not even care for the spiritual welfare of their own children. They're willing to sacrifice their own children that they may remain in the heathen church of the Laodiceans. In verse 23 it says, "Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Oftentimes we'll see heathen Laodicean Pharisees accuse Christian Seventh-day Adventists of following only man, when the Christian Seventh-day Adventist is following God's truth. In reality, then, heathen Laodiceans accuse Christian Seventh-day Adventists of what heathen Laodiceans are really doing. They are the ones who are following man, and the men they follow are like them, heathen Laodiceans. But of course they claim superior goodness of the heathen Laodiceans that they follow, even attributing them to be servants of God. Such is the delusion and the deception historically of heathen Laodicean Pharisees. Here in Christ's day, these heathen Laodicean Pharisees were giving evidence that they followed man. And we know that the men they followed were exactly like them, blind leaders of the blind, heathen leading the heathen. But the followers of the heathen leaders, the heathen Laodicean Pharisaical leaders, their followers, attributed a superior goodness to these leaders, even elevating these disciples of Satan to be disciples of God. Such is the delusion of the blind and the blind leaders of the blind. They follow man, and when the Christian Seventh-day Adventists gives them the truth, they accuse the Christian Seventh-day Adventist of following man. But they are the ones that are following unconverted or heathen men. Let's continue on in our John chapter 9. Beginning again, we'll start with verse 25. He answered and said, "Whether ye be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." In verse 26 it says, "Then said they to him again." Then said, in other words, the Pharisees to him again. His parents were really, spiritually speaking, standing with the Pharisees. So the blind man who was healed is speaking not just to the Pharisees themselves per se, but he's also speaking to his own parents. And in verse 28 it says, "Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. Notice here again we see a problem regarding the dilemma of reaching heathen Laodiceans. Those that are newly converted to Christ, as this blind man that was healed was, share the blessings of their conversion with the heathen Laodiceans. And what stands in their way of receiving Christ? The phrase, "Dost thou teach us?" speaks exactly to their pride that stands in the way of them receiving the truth. Again, we read in verse 34, "They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." Let's turn to our Desire of Ages and just read a few paragraphs there and continue on here in chapter 51 of Desire of Ages, beginning on page 463. It says there, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When he spoke these words, Jesus was in the court of the temple, specially connected with the services of the Feast of Tabernacles. In the center of this court rose two lofty standards, supporting lampstands of great size. After the evening sacrifice, all the lamps were kindled, shedding their light over Jerusalem. This ceremony was in commemoration of the pillar of light that guided Israel in the desert, and was also regarded as pointing to the coming of the Messiah." At evening, when the lamps were lighted, the court was a scene of great rejoicing. Gray-haired men, the priests of the temple, and the rulers of the people, united in the festive dances to the sound of instrumental music and the chants of the Levites. In the illumination of Jerusalem, the people expressed their hope of the Messiah's coming to shed his light upon Israel. But to Jesus the scene had a wider meaning. As the radiant lamps of the temple lighted up all about them, so Christ, the source of spiritual light, illumines the darkness of the world. Yet the symbol was imperfect. That great light, which his own hand had set in the heavens, was a truer representation of the glory of his mission. It was morning. The sun had just risen above the Mount of Olives, and its rays fell with dazzling brightness on the marble palaces and lighted up the gold of the temple walls, when Jesus, pointing to it, said, "I am the light of the world." By one who listened to these words, they were long afterward re-echoed in the sublime passage, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not." That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, Revised Version, and verse 9. And long after Jesus had ascended into heaven, Peter also, writing under the illumination of the divine Spirit, recalled the symbol Christ had used. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Actually, brothers and sisters, this is the only true life insurance for those who will be judged of God and found to be Christian Seventh-day Adventists. This is the only true life insurance, as the one set forth here in 2 Peter. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as to a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." This sure word of prophecy is the true life insurance for the Christian Seventh-day Adventist. It continue on in Desire of Ages on page 464. It says, "In the manifestation of God to his people, light had ever been a symbol of his presence. At the creative word in the beginning, light had shone out of darkness. Light had been enshrouded in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, leading the vast armies of Israel. Light blazed with awful grandeur about the Lord on Mount Sinai. Light rested over the mercy seat in the tabernacle. Light filled the temple of Solomon at its dedication. Light shone on the hills of Bethlehem when the angels brought the message of redemption to the watching shepherds. God is light. And in the words, 'I am the light of the world,' Christ declared his oneness with God and his relation to the whole human family. It was he who at the beginning had caused the light to shine out of darkness," 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. "He is the light of sun and moon and star. He was the spiritual light that in symbol and type and prophecy had shone upon Israel. But not to the Jewish nation alone was the light given. As the sunbeams penetrate to the remotest corners of the earth, so does the light of the Son of Righteousness shine upon every soul."
We'll stop here for today, and we'll continue on with our study of the rest of John chapter 8 and all of John chapter 9 here as we continue on in Desire of Ages 464 next week in chapter 51, The Light of Life. I want to thank our website visitors as of September 22nd, 2012, this Sabbath. Our website visitors from around the world, the United States, of course, and then the Ukraine, Canada, the Russian Federation, Israel, Grenada, the Netherlands, France, Germany, Sweden, Great Britain, the Philippines, Australia, and India. Thank you for visiting our website and reading the Word of God that is compiled there in studies, and for listening to the different tapes, particularly those tapes that I clearly identify the clear and decided distinctions between Christian Seventh-day Adventists and heathen Laodiceans in these very last days. They are not one and the same thing. If you have any comments or questions, our email address there is correct on our website. And again, thank you for visiting. Next week, then, we'll continue on in our study of chapter 51, The Light of Life. We'll continue on in Desire of Ages, page 464. Should we kneel for prayer today as we close our worship service? Let's kneel for prayer then. Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day. We thank you for so many lessons that you sought in your wisdom to give us as we've read in John chapter 8 and 9. And now as we are reading from Desire of Ages, as these teachings of yours regarding the Pharisees and your interaction with them, tell us about the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of our day. Lord, help us to make clear and decided distinctions between Christian Seventh-day Adventism and heathen Laodiceanism. We ask you to forgive us for our sins of omission and commission and ignorance in any way as we've detracted from this request in our prayer. Help us make clear and decided distinctions between Christian Seventh-day Adventism and heathen Laodiceanism. We praise your name and thank you for the forgiveness that you give us as we seek to go about this mission that you've given us in these last days. We pray for a blessing not only for ourselves in this coming week, that we recognize your hand in our life, but we ask that this blessing be extended to our friends, our family, our neighbors, and our enemies as well. We ask, Lord, that you make our enemies our friends. We ask for the privilege of seeing this miracle in our lives. We thank you so much for the ways that you have done this in the past. We come before you by faith, and we lay this prayer of petition before your throne, asking that your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for your fellowship today, and thank you for your testimonies. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Thank you for coming to worship today and for your participation in song and testimony. And God bless. Thank you for coming. Happy Sabbath. Bye for now.